Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish, and this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So what was the devil thinking? Did he really think that he could trip up the Son of God? Did he really think that Jesus would fall for any of these temptations? But let's think about this for a moment. The devil is full of pride. In fact, as the devil, he's probably has the most prideful person that's ever been created. And so, yeah, maybe he did think he could do this. Maybe he thought that I can easily trip him up. Well, let's just assume that for a moment. Let's assume that the devil really thought he could win this little battle. Then what I would say is he had to bring out his A game. He had to bring out the best temptations that were at his disposal, temptations that had worked countless times before. And so I think it's important for us to examine these temptations in greater detail. And of course, we begin by reminding us that Jesus went out in the desert alone, and he was there for 40 days and did not eat for that 40 days. And so the gospel says something obvious: he was hungry. And so the devil came to him and said, "You know, you're the Son of God. You can just change these stones into bread. Go ahead, show me how you can do that." We, of course, know the sin of gluttony. On the one hand, food is something our bodies need. We need that fuel. We need that to survive. But the gluttony means that we have now taken what is necessary and made it a central part of our life. The pursuit of that, it becomes all-consuming. And the pursuit of that is to maybe paper over some other sufferings that we're dealing with in our lives. We've all heard of stress eating, for example. But it's important to remember, gluttony is not just about food. It can be about the desire for anything that becomes all-consuming, such as drugs and misusing our human sexuality. You know, I remember especially in the in the 80s and 90s, there were these documentaries that would show up talking about how this rock and roll band, talking about how from nowhere they all of a sudden achieved all this success. And they were playing to sold-out concerts. They appeared to have everything, signing these multi-million dollar contracts. And they would tell the people who said, you know, but we still felt this hole in our hearts. So we tried to fill it by becoming more successful, by becoming and using things like drugs and sex as a way of filling that void. But it never satisfied them. And that's the thing. We can all feel that void in our hearts, but it is a desire for God. It is not a desire for the things of this earth. And so when we pursue those things and ignore what can truly satisfy us, that is the great sin that this first temptation is about. The second temptation I alluded to last week in my homily. The devil shows Jesus in an instant all the kingdoms of the earth and says, you can rule over all of them if you'll just bow down and worship me. It is that temptation of power and prestige that the devil was trying to pull on Jesus. Now, it's interesting, in Jesus' life, he had already experienced the ill effects of this temptation. After all, I can guarantee you it was the devil that entered Herod's heart and said, hey, there is someone who's going to threaten your rule as king. There is a newborn king in Bethlehem, and he's going to depose you. What are you going to do about it? Well, what Herod did was he sent an army into Bethlehem and that surrounding area, ordering them to kill all male babies from 2 years old up to newborn, slaughtering those innocents, all because of his desire to hold on to his power. It is a huge temptation. I don't see any kings in our audience today. But we can understand a little bit about wanting to look good to others, which is another part of this temptation. What motivates us to maybe do good? What motivates us to do charitable works? Is it because we are trying to fulfill Jesus' command of loving our neighbor as he loves us? Or are we trying to make ourselves look good to others? Are we trying to say, hey, look how good of a Christian I am. Look how giving I am. If that's our motivation, then we have fallen prey as well to this second temptation. Because it's all about us. It's all about how we look to others. So this second temptation is a powerful one, and we experience it in different ways in our own lives. Then we come to the third temptation. The devil takes Jesus up onto the Temple Mount, all the way to the highest parapet of the temple. Who knows how many feet down is the ground? And he says, fling yourself off of here, because it says right there in sacred scripture, he will send his angels to protect you, and you won't even stub your toe on a rock in the ground. He is asking Jesus to test his Father's fidelity. He's telling Jesus to test, what is God going to do what he said? Jesus, of course, sets that aside. At some point, he will put his life in danger. But now is not the time. Remember that scene as Jesus is hanging on the cross, and one of the criminals that had been crucified with him looks to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us." Once again, that same temptation. It's basically saying, okay, if you're the Son of God, just jump off that cross and show the world it didn't hurt. I didn't suffer. It was all a show. That is not what Jesus came to do. Instead, he willingly gave up himself. He was arrested. He was abandoned by his closest friends, betrayed by one of them. He was tried. He was beaten. He had to carry the instrument of his execution all the way up that hill of Calvary, bleeding from his wounds the whole way. And then he was crucified, executed in one of the most heinous methods, and he did die. At no point did he call out to God and say, "Take me down from here," because this is why he came. In St. Luke's gospel that we heard from today, of this story of the temptation of Jesus, there is a very interesting line that does not show up in the other stories. And it says, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time." So the devil was not giving up. But what was this time that he departed from Jesus? Well, the devil once again saw his opportunity when he entered into Judas's heart. He saw his opportunity as he was entering the hearts of the chief priests and elders, who were concerned that Jesus' popularity would threaten their power. He entered the hearts of the crowds who were calling out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Ultimately, as Jesus died on the cross, can you imagine the glee that went from the devil's heart? "I won. I beat him." And yet, we all know the rest of the story. We all know that this had to happen so that the devil's power could be taken away from him, so that the punishment of original sin could be set aside and the gates of heaven could be thrown open and we could be reunited with the God who created us and become his adopted children. My dear friends, one of the differences between what Jesus experienced in that desert and what we experience when we face the devil, he did it alone. But he promises to be with us. He promises to be with our constant companion throughout our life, through every temptation that we face, and he promises to offer us the grace of the sacraments of his church. My dear friends, let us use this Lent to examine our hearts. Where are we being tempted? Where are we falling short? And rely on Jesus' love and mercy so that we can say no to the devil as he did, and with great joy in our hearts to celebrate his victory over the devil.